If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Acts. To the book of Acts. The book of Acts this morning. And as you're turning there, Father, I just pray for, Lord, just the enduring power of the Holy Spirit to be ours, God, as we traverse the waters of change. God, you're bringing change not only to the nation, but to our area. Father, you're prompting us, and all the prophetic words that are coming, Lord, are telling us to ready ourselves for your move. Yes. Father, that we might have an answer to give those who ask. Father, that in the process we break the back of religion. God, and we embrace the new move that you want to do in our generation. God, we've not seen the power that you want us to walk in, Father. We've not seen or experienced the power that we are yet to, Father, to walk in. And so, Father, do that. Lord, I just pray that you bring your word forth in a plain way today. God, that we might embrace it and walk in it, each and every one of us, from the least of us to the best, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need notes this morning, ushers are available. If you're not on a YouVersion Bible, you can have the notes that are being passed out. Acts chapter 11 this morning, beginning in verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Peter came up to Jerusalem. Those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And at the very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, 'Then God also has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'" So the grace of God on the church was one of the first challenges of many that would come forth from the religious people. Religious people that said, "Gentiles don't belong having what we have because they're not circumcised. They're not living the law. They're not the blessed nation. What are you doing going to people that are heathen?" And I just want to say a couple of things. One is, when we give an answer to people, when people ask us, especially religious folk, you know, the ones that have been raised at church that have the three hymns and the amen. When they begin to ask us why we do the things we do, number one, we better have a testimony. We can't make things up. What's God done in our lives? We now, with all the information, we live in the information age, we can talk about miracles that happened somewhere else that we can't prove. This was first-hand experience that Peter had. I mean, you know, he had a first-hand experience with the Spirit of God. He had a vision. He told that Cornelius had a vision, and he said the same thing that happened to us on the day of Pentecost happened to them. End of argument. The end of argument, see. If we want to bring our brothers and sisters along, if we want to move ahead where God is asking us to move ahead in our generation, we've got to meet the challenge of religion. We've got to break the biggest battle that we have now in our society is breaking the religious realm. People have proclaimed Christianity for years, and it's not changed anything in our nation. As a matter of fact, we're worsened as a result. People say, of course we're religious. Well, yeah, you're religious, but now you're still killing babies and women are marrying women, men are marrying men. I've had more in this last week and a half, I've heard more declarations of Scripture coming from our leaders than in any time that I can remember.
Yes.
How many are aware of that? I mean, we had the chief of staff quote Isaiah 40:31. Chief of staff of our president. Vice President Pence spoke at the Pro-Life Day. An 8-minute message glorifying God. Speaking about life. Talking Scripture. The proof is in the first-hand experience that we have of breaking this religious giant Goliath that is challenging us, and every one of us, everybody has hidden behind rocks long enough. It's time that we come behind the rocks and attack this giant of religion that faces us. Well, we make enemies up so we don't attack what needs attacked. I'm not talking about attacking people. I'm talking about attacking the spirit behind the people, this spirit of religion that has made God into a mockery. No, the God that's come forth into religion in this last generation has been a weak-minded God that didn't know that things were going to change so drastically, and He hasn't caught up with us yet. After all, we're new and improved. We're an enlightened race of people. We don't need to live like God told the Israelites to live, because they needed to procreate. You know, because they needed to populate the planet. We've reached the motel is full. And therefore we don't need, so we're in an enlightened generation. And religion has taken over for relationship. J. Newton said, the religion of some people is constrained. They are like people who use the cold bath not for pleasure, but necessity and their health. They go in with reluctance and are glad when they get out. But religion to a true believer is like water to a fish. It is his element. He lives in it. And he could not live out of it. This isn't something that we do twice a week, some, and once a week others. It's not something that we do. This is something that we live and breathe. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in as children of God in the kingdom of God that has no end and had no beginning. The kingdom of God will be challenged by the established religion of the day. It will always be that way. We must at all costs steel ourselves against the temptation to criticize the move of the Holy Spirit. Circumcised men of the day thought they were doing a righteous thing when they challenged Peter. I can't believe you went into the uncircumcised. But thank God that they had the wherewithal to listen to the testimony. And here's where the caveat is. Do we have a testimony to speak to the religious people? If Satan cannot stop us by false attacks, he will attempt to with false accusations. Each step we take must be bathed in prayer. And there's a challenge that's with us to testify. There was a time later on in the book of Acts where Peter would be afraid to eat with the Gentiles. Paul talks about it. He said he had to rebuke Peter. There was a time when Peter said, I don't want to be associated with these Gentile people. But this wasn't the time, because he saw the power of God on the Gentile. It opened up the Gentile nations. When there is a sovereign move of God, witnessing is easy. It makes witnessing so much easier when a life has changed. James' testimony this morning. The presence of Christ in that room, it needed no explanation. When God moves, people take notice. He said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. And then he said, I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift, who am I that I can withstand God, he said. A sure sign of success is when God interrupts. We like to pontificate and talk a lot, but how many know God can interrupt anytime He wants? And when He does, He gets things done. We too often want to keep God on a leash and let Him show up when His cue, when you're in cue. God, when you're cued, you come. Not time yet. We haven't finished worship. It's not time yet. The word's not, it's not time yet. We need to believe God. He's the Lord all the time, not just when we're not having church. When Solomon was finishing his temple, God interrupted. The glory of God came in the place and the priest couldn't minister for the glory cloud. When Christ was being baptized, God interrupted. We know the heavens opened up and the glory of God came in the form of a dove on the Son of God. And He said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. I mean, you know, no explanation was needed. People still try to say it was the voice of Elijah or the voice of, you know. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter is pontificating. He remembered that, I'll bet. The rest of his life. He said, it's good that we're here, we'll build. And God interrupted. He said, this is my beloved Son. Again, had to remind him. At the upper room, when they were in prayer, all in one mind and one accord, God interrupted with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God has accepted anyone that will humble themselves and repent. Anyone. Religion keeps people out. But relationship welcomes all in. Whosoever will to the Lord may come. Another challenge is a challenge to change. When they heard these things in verse 18, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God also has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. When God moves on a soul, get out of the way. We want all kinds of things to set, you know, be set up. We want to move by program. Sometimes God just doesn't fuss with program. He just ministers in a powerful way. The best way to break a religious spirit is with a miracle. When a miracle happens, you don't have to explain it. It happened. If somebody couldn't walk and now they walk, it's God. Come on, someone. When a marriage is being broken up and then it comes together, it's God. Miracles are the way to break the religious spirit. I want to show you a video. Praise God. Soon a miracle happens, all arguments are gone. You don't need to add to, it's not the fish that got away, it's the proof. It's like the man that received the sight. Pharisees ask him, how did you receive? Who did this? He said, I don't know who he was, it's just a guy. He said, basically I was blind and now I see. What do you want me to say? Allow me to enjoy the sunlight, would you? See, when Peter gave his testimony, the proof was in the results. And so it should be with us. And so the challenge to testify shouldn't be a scary thing. What's God doing with us currently? looking in verse 11 of, or 19 of Acts. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, which were Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Why? To prove what was going on. Verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So those who were persecuted preached. What we fear in our day is that the gospel needs widespread acceptance to be effective. No, it doesn't. God is not hindered by unbelief. He's just hindered by the unbelief in the Christian. The unbelief in the world, that's to be expected. They should desire us to prove it. Come on, someone. The world says, prove it, and we say, well, you have to have faith. Well, what's that? Prove it. Yes, they need faith, but they need results. When we are challenged, the Holy Spirit shines. The Holy Spirit loves a challenge. Come on, someone. Antioch was the third largest city in the world and a virtual melting pot. It was within this city that a great church arose. Many Greeks came to Christ, though to be the hardest people to convert, they were thought to be the hardest people to convert. The power of the gospel melted the hardest hearts. Do not doubt the power of a simple testimony or quote of Scripture. Training is a good thing, but we just need to trust Him. Psalm 81:10 says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. The next time somebody asks you about Christ, just say a quick prayer and open your mouth and watch what God will do. Mark 13:11, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Amen. Barnabas ended up giving a blessing because when we are obedient, we will draw the blessings of others that are following Christ. Everyone that has visited New Life that I have a relationship with feels the anointing here. Every guest speaker that we've had since I've been here has walked in this building and said, the anointing of God is here. My question to you is, do you sense that? See, if we sense that, then we'll begin to invite people, even though we invited people many times. We'll invite them again. As the church is turning a corner. If you can't sense it the last several months, actually the last several weeks, the intensity is growing. And it's because we've turned a corner. The presence of God is manifest in our midst. And we want to bring people to put... There's proof, see? We can talk about it all we want, but there's proof. And it should be proof in your life. Not that God is not manifesting outside this building. He is. But God uses the local church. And He'll continue to do that. Do you feel the anointing? And if you do, ask others to come and experience the same thing. Ask them to your house. You're an anointed person. And we can expect that personal persecution will happen. I'm not going to try to draw a pretty... When God begins to move, He moves. There's proof, but there's also backlash. How many know we've got a man of God in the White House? We're seeing backlash. It's like all the news casters are against everything now. They were for everything when we had a godless man. Now they're against everything when we have a godly man. Look at Acts 12:1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. He killed the James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. It was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, 16 soldiers, intending to bring him from the people after Passover. So here's the notorious Herod Agrippa. He was a grandson of Herod who put the babies to death in Bethlehem. He was a brother of Herodias who had John the Baptist beheaded. His life wasn't very glamorous. He came from nowhere to be the king. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Petty government post under Herod Antipas, husband of Herodias. He made his way by borrowing money and not paying it back. He went to Rome and got close to Caesar, but he soon fell out of grace and he was put in chains. Caesar died, Tiberius died with, and Caligula, friend of Agrippa, set him free. He appointed him as king over a province in Palestine as a favor. Herodias and Antipas wanted equal billing, and Herod wrote a letter that condemned the couple, and they died in poverty in Spain. Herod became one of the most influential men in the Roman world. And his hatred had no bounds against Christians. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
We just finished a reign of terror that I don't think we'll know for years. His hatred and actions against Christians, he had James killed. James was one of the three foremost Christians. Peter, James, and John were close friends with Jesus. And Agrippa wanted to end the power of the way. He swiftly acted and had James killed. He was emboldened because the Jews approved. The religious people of the day said, "Go, Herod." So he arrested Peter, and his intent was to kill Peter, but the Passover saved the apostle. He said, "I'll wait till after the Passover." And you know the story there in Acts 12, 5 through 19. I won't read the whole thing, but basically, it was curtains for the guards. 16 guards couldn't hold Peter. The reason he had 16 guards is before the apostles were thrown in jail, and the next day they were in the temple. No doors open, nothing. They were just in the temple. The angel of the Lord said, "Go and speak all the words of this life in the temple." And so that's where they found them. And so when they arrested Peter, they said, "We better chain these guys with 16 soldiers." How many know it was Holy Ghost sermon next time? Soldiers were still there. They didn't go anywhere, but they were sleeping good. Peter had his deliverance from a terrible, terrible place. The story of the apostles' previous release from prison no doubt prompted such an action of having these guys around him. And the angel of the Lord, he was so sound asleep with the guards on him, he didn't have Psalmanex. The angel kicked him and said, "Get up!" They may have expected divine protection before the death of James, the church did, but prayer was called for, prayer without ceasing, and they began to pray, and God answered prayer. How many are surprised because God's answering prayer? It's taken a while. It's been years. But finally, we're moving into the answer of prayer. How many could feel the nation slowly turning? It's like an old contraption that is in the garage you haven't used for years. You put a little oil on it and move it. And it begins to move easier and easier and easier and easier. And God is being believed again that He'll do great things. And the angel let him out. Had to give him step-by-step instructions. "Peter, get up. Peter, get dressed. Peter, put your shoes on. Peter, follow me." He's like, that's the way he was, because the Word of God says that he didn't come to himself till he got out of there. He's kind of like, "Okay. This is a neat dream." And I believe that's what our generation is like. The angel of the Lord has come. The Holy Spirit has come and says, "We're going to move from here to there." And we're kind of all like, "Okay, God." Because we've talked about it so long, we're not sure if it's real. It's real. The time is here. Even the door obeyed God. Door opened on its own accord. some of the research I did, some writers say that it was disciples that broke in and saved Peter, completely denying the supernatural. I got news for them. I don't know how they got that from that. I don't know of any friends I'm calling the angel of God. Hey, it's the angel of the Lord. No, it's just, you know, it's Mick. And the faith of the church was great, man. They were men and women of faith and power. They had a prayer meeting and Peter shows up and they said, it's his spirit. That's not him. It can't be him. He's in jail. The girl went to the door, you know, so you read it when you get a chance. Bang, bang, bang. He's pounding on the door. She came to the door and she got so flummoxed that she closed the door and ran in and said, I think Peter's out at the gate. What? I think Peter's out at the gate. See, we must believe for the miraculous, and then we must believe it when it happens. We're headed for the miraculous, but we must believe it when it happens. When God answers prayer, don't question God. And of course, Rome's reaction was what we expected. Herod did a little bit of investigation. The soldiers were stymied.
No, I don't know what happened to him. He was here when I went to sleep.
And Herod had all the guards put to death, sadly. Acts chapter 12, verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Now this is sticky territory that we're moving into. But when God is glorified, there's no man that can stand before Him, no matter what the title is. When we glorify God and put Him in a rightful place, there's nothing that can stand against us. We don't wish death on anybody, but God will remove the enemies and get His work done. Herod, by that time, had left for Caesarea. And Tyre and Sidon, the people there hated Herod, didn't want him around, but they realized he supplied their sustenance and made peace with him. That's the condition that this nation has been in for years. Nobody in their right mind could love some of the people that have been our head over the last 20, 30 years. Come on, somebody. Over the last couple of administrations. But because we've got almost half the adults in this nation are looking for the government to supply their every need, they're buying the lie. Afraid that if we come against the government, we won't have supply. How many know God will supply for us? That's what we need. The church needs to rise up right now. There's pastors in our community that are coming together. And we're saying, how can we help this community? There's 59% poverty in our high school. How can we help the community? How can we move them? And we're not looking to the government to help. It's God that'll help.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I could care less if the government helps because we have the wherewithal. We have the supplier. God is our supplier. But the people realized that their sustenance made peace with Herod, and allowed Herod to be glorified. Where have we seen that in our nation? We've glorified men. This last administration, the president was called Messiah by many people. He was the one that was going to deliver this nation. I have a good memory about that, his first time around. Throngs of people came out and worshiped him. People passed out at his speeches. His first campaign, ambulances were sent because people were swooning and passing out in his meetings. How soon we forget. Christians were, this is the man of God. When it's after his first election, I was at a church and they were going, it's Obama time, it's Obama time, it's Obama time. But we made it. Turn to somebody and say, we made it. We made it through. Blastus set up a public meeting for them. And if you look in the writings of Josephus, he records the event outside the Word of God, his Jewish historian. Herod was attired in a robe of silver that glittered in the sun. He amazed the audience so much that they called him a god. Josephus records them as saying, be gracious unto us. Hitherto we have reverenced thee as a man, but henceforth we acknowledge thee to be more than mortal nature. And Herod sees his end. The story goes, Josephus records the following. Herod saw an owl sitting on a rope above his head. Years before he was a prisoner and saw the same owl, and a German fellow prisoner at the moment said, and when he saw it again, he would have 5 days to live. He was gripped with pain internally, and 5 days later he died. Now, I'm not saying anybody's going to die, but what I'm saying, it's the end of the ride for many of the liberal people that thought this nation was going in one direction, and it's not. So what's that mean for you and I? It means that we have a lot of responsibility to say only what God says. Don't embellish it. Just say what the Word of God says. Peter just gave testimony and revival broke out. Barnabas went down to Antioch, the third largest city in the world, and revival broke out. Why? Because it was just the true Word of God. We don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to embellish it. We don't need to tell stories. We don't need to be fantastic. All we need to do is rightfully divide the word of truth with the hungry people that need to hear what we have. Herod died, and the word of God grew and multiplied. And in a sense, something has died. This liberal ship that we've been on has finally ran out of gas. It's hit the iceberg of the Holy Ghost. The unsinkable Titanic is sinking. Nature abhors a vacuum. Somebody's going to have to take leadership. And no matter what we think of the president, this present president, he's not our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. But he's given us license to be able to do that. We should have done it a long time ago, but at least God says, okay, now I've answered your prayer. I've put some righteous people in places. Now you have no excuse. Do what I told you to do. Now, I'd like to say that it's all going to be peaches and cream. It's not. It's going to be a battle. But I say again, and I warn the church, that the biggest battle is going to be the religious giants of the day. The Goliaths that say this is not God. And we'll be saying, hey, I don't know. I was blind, but now I see. You're saying it's not a miracle. Oh, I was blind and now I see. I was blind and now I see. Duh. Do not look at world instances to retard the growth of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is going to grow. Man's foolish plans cannot hinder the work of God. What we allow to hinder will hinder. This nation bought a lie a long time ago that said we had to kowtow to people just because they're in government, forgetting that government is there to serve us. Yes. The only king we have, we only have one king, and that is King Jesus.
Right.
We don't serve man. We obey the law of God. which is what our founding fathers put forth in the Constitution, was basically the law of God. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Pretty simple. It's time to seize it. It's time to seize it in our personal life. Really, excuses never work, but certainly excuses are not going to work now. What will be our next step? May it be a step to glorify the Lord. May it be a step to glorify God. What you sense in your personal life, what's going on in your personal life and in your church and in this community is God planned. This, I believe, is the last push for the return of Christ. We've been praying for the prodigal. They'll be coming back. The religious barriers will be taken down. And we'll see the greatest move of God, already doing it. Seeing the greatest move of God this world has ever experienced. We're going to live the book of Acts. I was talking to Brother Danny a couple weeks ago, and he said, we need to continue to write the book of Acts. Because it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. As far as I know, the Holy Spirit hasn't resigned. He's not on vacation. Same Holy Spirit that did those things that we read about is doing it now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that You would move according to Your power and Your anointing. Father, use us. Here we are. All we are is vessels. God, we don't have anything unless You give it to us. So, Father, I pray You'd use everyone, each in our own way, that we might glorify You. In Jesus' name.